You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now on today's show, I was joined by Javier Reyes, the host of Locked On Padres, for a Locked On crossover. We discuss some of the latest reporting as it relates to the MLB lockout. We talk about Michael Conforto's free agency and so much more. It's a fun conversation. Can't wait for you to hear it. Before we get into that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. Here's my conversation with Javier Reyes, host of Locked On Padres. My dancing co-host for the day, Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres, joining me, Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets. Got a lot we're going to talk about today. A little Michael Conforto, talk about the offseason, how this lockout's never going to end. How you doing today, Javi?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I mean, honestly, look, the January hangover, like, I don't know about you, but I really think January and August too, but I think January is just like the worst month. No offense to anyone who's got some birthdays in January and all that. I know my mom's birthday is January 4th, but like, it's just, man, like you just feel, I don't know. It just takes you a little bit to get back into the swing of things. And it's even harder because it's not like we have too much baseball news to talk about because we're in a lockout. So it's just kind of this weird moment, but I did talk about one of my favorite movies the other day on a podcast. So I think I'm slowly getting back into it, talking more Padres, and now I'm talking here with you. So I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's any light at the end of the tunnel of this lockout. I just saw a report that Rob Manfred, he's going to meet, or I don't know if he's going to meet, but there's going to be a meeting where some actual numbers are going to be discussed. There's going to be some conversations, which we haven't seen in the first 2 months of this lockout. I have no hopes that this is going to end anytime soon, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of was talking about on my pod the other day, where everyone seems very, like, rightfully, by the way, they're like, baseball can't afford to miss games, right? Like, this is not you. Your ratings went up and stuff, and it's like, you look at the last lockout they had, the attendance and everything went down by, like, 40%. Then you have the steroid, all that stuff. So it's like, we've literally seen that it impacts your sport a lot. But my thing is, like, when has baseball ever shown that they will be able to figure out the bare minimum of keeping their sport relevant? They act like a sport that's in first place and gets all the viewings all the time. I mean, constantly. They're like, we could afford this type of stuff. And they argue and they banter. It's like, I think it's not unlikely that we probably, you know, get back to things by at least the start of spring training or, like, in the middle of it, and we don't miss too many regular season games. But, like, what has baseball done to give you confidence that that's a sure thing? That they're not going to mess this up, and we're going to miss a month and a half of the season, and then everybody's going to be losing their mind. Then we're going to be talking about the NBA, and then no one will care anymore. It's dark times for, I think, baseball fans. What do you think about the current leadership, I think, that's going on with the ownership and with the commissioner's office and such?
Yeah, and I think the interesting part about it is, if from the owner's perspective, I think we think so much about this first year, but they're talking about a deal that's going to be 5-6 years. If they're in the mindset that they're going to lose so much money by signing a bad deal early, they will be the ones that are going to just look at the MLBPA and play that game of chicken. And I think you listen to the Dan Le Batard show, right?
Every now and then I do, because that show ages better with time in my experience, where it just seems to have like a very, it has a lot more in common with my view on sports these days than I think it used to have. I used to take it very seriously and be like, let's go in that. And now I'm like, man, I almost like hate sports fans almost. I don't hate them, but it's just like, you know what it is? I get why people hate them more than ever at this point in my life. I really do. When someone's like, I hate sports fans, I'm like, I get it. Like, we're complaining about the dumbest things, and then the things that actually might matter more, we don't get all that upset about. It's kind of a nightmare. But yeah, Le Batard, I know, has been hammering all these points home.
Yeah. And he, you know, David Sampson goes on his show a lot, former, you know, president of the Marlins. And Sampson was talking about how, you know, he felt like the 60-game season gave the owners more of a reason to be willing to lose games because they found a way that they could still make money in a shortened season. Mm. They just did it 2 years ago. So that's another thing that's concerning is just an expanded playoff. How much does that, you know, offset their losses and how that could be enough to drag this thing out? But I feel like we should move on, right? Should we stop talking?
I mean, admittedly,
talking
I will say, yeah, I mean, we kind of have to, but I know that it's like the big topic, that and Hall of Fame. I think Hannah Kaiser put out a poll, which is like, which is what's more like more contentious topic, the lockout or like labor disputes or the lockout or something else. I forgot what it was, but it's just like, yeah, like, the lockout or Hall of Fame voting. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, both of the, it's only like yelling right now with baseball fans. You know what I mean? Like, there's only yelling or nothing. There's like no in between. Everybody's just very upset to be a baseball fan right now. But I will admit though that 60 game season was fun for my team especially.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'll say is I wouldn't necessarily mind a shortened season. I know that makes
me
sound crazy.
Yeah, we need a sweet spot. We need it to like end at the end of August. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
right before football starts, maybe you get a little bit of playoff action there. That for me has been the dream because August is kind of a dead month. So if you could capture that a little bit more.
The first Mr. September. I mean, it's got a good ring to it. Why not?
You could do worse. You could do worse is what I'm saying. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, I would also even go out of my way to say, hey, you know, some of these other, like let's get wacky with baseball. Let's do home run derbies to decide games. Let's do. Yeah.
Why not?
I'm good with all.
Everybody's out here complaining about the ghost runner thing, like it's the end of the world. It's like what? All right, 10 games were affected by that for your team this year.
I sneakily like it,
guys.
I kind of like
it. I loved it. Who? Because I know so many people also that were like I just mentioned football before that they viewed it like red zone, where when they saw that a team was going to extras, they would turn on the game. They're like, oh, it could end any second now. I know baseball always and the extra innings can end because of the home runs and stuff, but it was like this sudden death thing. I feel like it was more, all right, you don't have to put it in the playoffs, but dude, there's 160 games. You're really complaining because like 10 of them will have this diff. God, I don't care what they do to make the game different. If in the extra innings you have it that all of a sudden it's wiffle ball, I don't care. I just think this is the number one sport that should just be kind of accepting and being excited about new things. The double headers that are 7 games. I love that. I was like, great, just 2 7 inning games. They're shorter, more bite sized. I was like, I think this is great. It's not the whole season. It's too long of a season for, I think, anyone to justify like these minor rule changes. It's like, or to not justify these minor rule changes. I think it's fun. At least it adds a little bit of a different juice to it, even if it's a little silly in a lot of ways, where it's like, oh, sacrifice bunt, pop fly, we win. I get it. Yeah. But it's not that many games in the grand scheme of things.
And honestly, after watching it, a lot of them don't even play out like that. You know, a lot of times the first team's going for multiple runs. And the one thing, too, I think from our perspective is the last thing I want to do is watch a 6-hour game and then record a podcast after it.
Those
19-inning games are brutal, even a 14-inning game. I don't like know why we're romanticizing them.
You're preaching to the choir here. I don't know if you remember that Padres-Dodgers game that lasted until like 4 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to jump off a bridge. It was the worst thing in the world, man. It was when Blake Snell is like throwing a no-hitter, and then they kept him in for some reason at 120 pitches, and then he gave up the tie to, Max Muncy? I think it was Max Muncy. Yeah. No, it was Will Smith, I think.
Oh, okay.
Will Smith, and Tatis then untied the game. I remember like the Dodgers took the lead, but then he hit the home run, and I was like, oh, here we go again. It was like inning like 19. It was madness. Yeah.
I was at
one,
man.
That was collapsing.
I was at a Mets-Reds game that Jared Eichhoff started, and it was just like runs nonstop. And I think there was like 3 or 4 innings where like both teams scored like 3 runs. And by the end, everyone was pissed off in that stadium. Like no one went home winners. No one went home winners. I can tell you from the experience of being there, everyone went home sad, but the Mets did win that game.
You're playing a dangerous game. Because if you lose, your team loses, and you've been watching that game for 8 hours, you are not going to be happy. It'll make you quit baseball for a few days. I can speak from experience where I'm like, all right, I just like didn't watch the Padres the next night. I was so tired. I was like, I can't do this madness. Give me the updates in the morning.
Exactly.
For sure, man.
Well, I think we should talk to Michael Conforto. But first, you got a snack? I'm kind of hungry. You have a snack you want to tell me about?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, here's the thing, man. It's the new, everyone's been talking about it, for a millennium. Okay. I don't know if you know about this, man. I don't know if you do. Everyone's been talking about this thing forever. Unlike the lockout, unlike these extra innings, this is unequivocally great. Guys, I'm talking about the best protein bars in all of the lands. Of course, I'm talking about Built Bars. They're great. They're fantastic. And what I love about them, here's what I love about them most. Anyone can make something taste good. All right. That's not true. You can make something taste good. That's true. But can you make something that tastes good and is healthy for you and has a really great variety of flavors? That's what I love. They've got mint chocolate. They've got chocolate almond. They've got double chocolate. They've got, what else? They got raspberry, strawberry. They got this eggnog and gingerbread flavors that just dropped in honor of Christmas. Cherry Barcia, my mom's personal favorite flavor. I'm an apple almond crisp guy. They've got everything. They're kind of like the Ben & Jerry's of protein bars in a lot of ways, guys. And, you know, 100% chocolate that they're covered in, more protein, less carbs, all that good stuff. And just for you guys, because you are listening to this podcast, if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order, guys. That's right. 15% off your order. Remember, that is built.com, LOCKED15 as the promo code to get 15% off, guys. Built bars are the best. Go check them out.
So let's switch over to Michael Conforto. I'm sure you got some questions for me. He's a free agent. Yep. Maybe he signs with the Padres. Maybe he signs elsewhere. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, so that's my first thing is I think, believe it or not, a lot of the free agents that are connected to your team are unfortunately guys that I really wanted. It's not like Max Scherzer or anything like that. It's not even Starling Marte. I mean, I want that player. Make no mistake. I would not be upset if we got ourselves a Max Scherzer for this Padres staff that really kind of was fell short of expectations.
Didn't you have him? I guess that was only short-lived, right?
You know what? I'm glad the Mets were such a disaster in the second half. I'm going to say it right. How dare you? You just brought up the trauma. That happens on my birthday, goddammit. All the disaster. Tatis then gets hurt. I can't believe he did that. Look, shout out Ken Rosenthal. I know that he's been in this whole drama too, but let's just say I may or may not have called him a narc. I was mad when that happened. I was really upset when that happened. Mike Rizzo is a sleeper agent for the Los Angeles Dodgers to give them Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. They activated a chip. They gave him the code word. And like the Winter Soldier, he sprung to action and had to save them and do whatever they asked. I hate that. And I'm so mad that you just brought that up. How dare
you? I mean, you left it. You left it out. You threw the lob pass. You didn't even know it. But I had to slam it down. I'm sorry.
True.
I mean.
That's true. I just got Brandon Knighted, I think. Yeah. DeAndre Jordan style. But yeah, 100% when it comes to those guys. I think that for me, though, those under-the-radar free agents is what I really liked. And those two were Mark Canha and Michael Conforto. Obviously, Mark Canha signed with you guys. I liked him. I thought he was sneaky, one of like the 20, like best outfielders in baseball. I thought he'd been playing really well. Also, really fun little Instagram. He's a big foodie guy. So I was a big fan of that. And just a 2-year, I think $26 million deal. I was like, oh man, like that could have been a really great addition for the Padres in left field. And then the other guy is Michael Conforto, who's a little bit more interesting than Mark Canha because the upside is, I think, a little bit more available there, especially when it comes to power. He's had good seasons before, and I've kind of compared him recently to a Marcus Semien, where it's this guy that was good for years, had like 3 straight years of being very good, maybe not as good as Marcus Semien's second to last year in Oakland. And now everyone's a little bit out on the guy because he had a poor season. The most memorable thing for Michael Conforto this year was leaning into a pitch that then hit him and allowed the Mets to win the elbow game, as a lot of people. It was literally the only like notable thing that happened for Michael Conforto this year. And my thing is, I wonder, do you think it's possible that he's going to take like kind of a prove it 1-year deal with a team for a decent amount of money and then get paid like Marcus Semien did, where he took a 1-year, $18 million, and then he cashed in because he knew his market value was higher, or at least he hoped that his value was higher. He bet on himself. Do you think that's possible? Because if it is possible, I would rather go that direction than giving a 8-year, 7-year deal to Nick Castellanos or maybe even Chris Bryant, just because the Padres have so much money dedicated right now that I don't know how much leeway they have to manage their roster.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you brought up Nick Castellanos because that's the contract that I actually think makes sense for Conforto. You know, the same agent, Scott Boras. You know, Castellanos, I think it was a $64 million deal over 4 years. I think he had opt-outs after each of the first 2 years. So that's what I see for Conforto, a four-year type contract where he has the opt-out so he can hit free agency after a good season. I think that's what he's going to look for. And I think if you compare Michael Conforto to those guys, Chris Bryant and Nick Castellanos, I like Conforto a lot more. Like, if you were to tell me, he's not coming back to the Mets, but if you were to tell me which of those three would I most want to stay on the Mets next year, it'd still be Conforto, even though they already have three outfielders, just because I look at Michael Conforto defensively, and I think, you know, compared to Castellanos, there's no question there.
Yeah,
Castellanos,
that's my big red flag.
Awful, and I don't think that is something that I'd want over an eight-year deal, and I think the same thing about Chris Bryant. I mean, everyone loves this versatility he has, but if you look at the numbers, he's a bad defender at third. He's a bad defender in left and in right. So what is he really bringing you? It's subpar defensive versatility. Michael Conforto, I think that's not a question. And then, yes, he had a bad year in 2021. There's no question about it. But the entire Mets lineup had a bad year. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes hitting is contagious either way. And when everyone's going through it, it's harder to break out of those slumps. He also had the hamstring injury. That was a really bad injury that took him out for a couple of months in the season. So I think that Conforto is much better than he was this past year. In 2020, his numbers are ridiculous. He's not going to be that guy. It was a shortened season. It was a hot 2 months. But 2019, I think that's who Conforto is, which is a 30-home-run guy. He had 90 RBIs. He set, you know, career-best marks pretty much across the board. He's not going to hit 300, but he's going to get on base at a 350 clip. Like, he's going to give you power. He's going to get on base, and he's going to be good defensively in right field. So, yeah, he's a great underrated free agent out there that I think some teams, whoever gets him, is going to get a steal.
Yeah, and that's my thing is also there wasn't anything that kind of just from – and granted, these are a little bit, you know, like very, very basic advanced stats. Is that even a term? Like where it's like none of his hard hit, none of his – you know, strikeout rate. None of the there wasn't too much that changed dramatically where it was like, oh, you know, this isn't like Troy Tulowitzki when his numbers went down where it was like, oh yeah, he's striking out a lot more and also he isn't hitting the ball as hard. Maybe this is a sign that this is a legit decline and not just bad luck or just an off year. And I think that with the case of Conforto, he's also still just 28 years old, I'm pretty sure. So I'm not really I just think that in terms of value. I get that Castellanos feels like more of a sure thing when it comes to his bat. I think that that's the type of thing the Padres do need. They need home run power. I know, before you make another joke, okay? Because you already attacked me once. I know, the team that was known as Slam Diego, all of a sudden, their biggest problem is home runs. They were like 22nd in the league in home runs, 21st in slugging percentage. So they really struggle in that area. So a home run hitter would be good. But the question is, like, I'll take a Bryant only because like, at least he's not the worst defender in the league, which is a lot by, I mean, defensive runs saved, I think, since the beginning of, like, two seasons ago. Castellanos is, like, I think the lowest in the league. So if you do that, on top of the fact that the Padres' current lineup, the first baseman that they currently have, there isn't, even if you were to bring in the DH to the National League, at one point you're going to have one of those two guys that has to play defensively. So for me, it's like, all right, I'll take a subpar Bryant and take the versatility. And I'll definitely take the Conforto thing because I just think it's not going to cost nearly as much as a Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant is going to get paid. I have no doubt about it in my mind. I wouldn't be surprised if he got like $200 million, to be honest with you. I just think that teams are ready. I think they're ready to bring in that winning caliber player and all that stuff. And versatility means something every now and then. You know, this isn't like a Chris Taylor level where it's like he's just good at all the positions. But I do think it matters, but it has to be. Because the Padres fans also, speaking of versatility, they were like, hey, man, Alfaro. I don't know if you heard about Jorge Alfaro getting traded to the Padres. We're like, hey, but he could play left, too.
Oh, no.
They're like, yeah. It's because he played in left. Not that he can play it. He just happened to play in left field because the Marlins – I mean, that was a tank job and a half, what they were doing with Jorge Alfaro out there. And he has, like, the worst, like, strikeout rate ever or something like that. Like,
they won a game because he was out there. There was a game where Javi Baez, you know, came around to score. And it was just because Alfaro, like, had no chance out there.
I think this was the thumbs down game, right? Or like the post.
It might have been
thumbs down game.
It was around that time.
Fans like lost their mind. Yeah, I think it was around that time. And then Javi Baez scored. The fans are losing their minds. They're like, how dare they? And all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, yeah, I thought it was a little dumb, but also like, don't you ever find it weird when fans call players soft, but then like players do something fairly innocuous in the grand scheme of things, and then it's like they're the ones that are sensitive. It's like, who cares? Like I saw the thumbs down, and I was like, oh, that's kind of dumb. And then I moved down. I moved on. Yeah. And in fairness, I think a lot of people are like that for a lot of things in life. Not to go down too many tangents, but I think most people, when they're not on the internet, they're just like, I don't like that. All right, cool. I'm going to go watch a Home Improvement or whatever the hell. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's how people operate most of the time.
Yeah, that whole thing. That was a big point I was making, is I was like, all right, we're saying these players are thin-skinned, and then you can't even accept the apology, and you're still upset about it 2 days. I'm like, come on, man. They're baseball
your
players.
Your team, man. Your team really is like opera. It's a Real Housewives of NYC, man. It's just absolutely chaotic over there. And you guys have one of my favorite players in baseball on your team, too. So I actually secretly root for you. Even if you slandered me earlier, I still root for your team.
I didn't slander you. I slandered the Padres and Max Scherzer.
Yeah, you slandered the Padres. Yeah, you slandered the Padres. I mean, you didn't slander me. You just kind of hurt me, I think is the better way to hurt
it. I apologize. You know, I didn't mean
it
to.
It happens, man.
But, you know, I don't know about you. I'm thinking about betting on the Mets to win the World Series.
Are you really? I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. The odds might not be super good because of such a bad season. I did that with the Chargers a while ago.
You know?
And the value will be low. Hey, someone who bet money on the Giants and someone who bet money on the Braves last year won a whole lot of money. So, hey.
That's right. And one place you can go is BetOnline, which would like to wish you a happy new betting year as they continue their march towards the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. A new year, a new updated desktop and mobile website. So if you want to sign up today, you can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using our promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So,
well done.
Going back to Conforto real quick, based on what you were saying there, I think if you're looking at free agency right now, I just wrote an article for Just Baseball about Trevor Story going along the
great
same
website.
Lines.
Love it.
It's a great website. Yeah. You've heard of it.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about how he was, you know, he's in a similar place as Marcus Semien is. And I think if you're looking at Conforto and Story, I personally, if I'm a GM, I'm looking at players coming off down years that I can sign to value contracts as opposed to Carlos Correa, who's coming off, the 1 year where he's healthy. Now he's going to get maybe a 10-year deal. And that's a lot of risk. And Chris Bryant, who, while he had a decent year, there's clear signs of decline there. There just is compared to.
Yeah, I think there are signs. It's one of those where, like, it wouldn't surprise you if in 2 years, maybe not immediately, but like in 3 years, you're like, oh my God, this is a 250, 320 guy now. You know
exactly. And I think for the first 2 years, he'll be great. And the Mets have some interest. And I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Cohen just wanted another shiny toy at the end of this lockout and decided to sign Chris Bryant. But that's what concerns me is, 2022, I'll be all in on it. I'll sell it to Mets fans. Win now. That's great. But 3 years from now, don't love it. And I feel the same about some of these other free agents. I think Michael Conforto and Trevor Story right now, if I was to grade out all the position players that are available, I think those are the two most attractive guys to me right now. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think so, too. I think Story's fascinating because I think on one level, the Coors thing is real with him. But it's not – I don't think it's enough to justify, like, okay, he becomes like a god in Coors Field. Then he just becomes a really solid offensive player who could also swipe you some bags, decent base runner too. And then most importantly to me, I think, in the story argument, is that he's a great glove. And that's not something that I'm worried about that won't translate if I'm another team. I know a lot of people have said Yankees, they desperately need a shortstop. Your team does not need a shortstop at all whatsoever, despite what the naysayers may say. I think Story is a very fascinating free agent in a lot of ways. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know what he's going to get, right? Like, I don't, because I wouldn't be surprised if he gets paid a lot. Like, does he get what Javi Baez got? I mean, maybe, right? Because I just think that people look at the past seasons that he's had where he's been a 30 home run guy, good on base percentage. Yes, he strikes out a lot, but I don't really care anymore. I don't know about you. I don't care if someone is striking out as nearly as much these days as I used to. Because, like, it matters, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, but everybody is, right? Like, a 26% strikeout rate isn't what it used to be. You know what I mean? Now, when you're in the Javi Baez territory, I mean, then we got to talk a little bit. But I think with Story, he would be a fascinating free agent. Maybe they'll even – were they playing him in the outfield? I forgot if Colorado was doing that.
I don't think so. I think he's been pretty much exclusively a shortstop, but I think he probably could.
Maybe I'm thinking of my shortstop. I think. Yeah, Tatis in right field.
Yeah, but that's I think that he can play third, short, second for sure. And I think like you said, the Baez contract is the one that I think if you were to get a long-term deal, it'd be around that, with those 6 for $140. But if you're Trevor Story, I'm trying to hit free agency again next year when there's not a crowded class of shortstops.
Yes.
And he can, you know, parlay a good season. I also think that even though the home road splits are crazy, I think this idea that a player who plays at Coors Field, like, suddenly their road splits are going to be their entire season. Like, Story's going to be hot somewhere. You know, if he'll get comfortable at whatever ballpark he's at, and he's not just going to be a 680 OPS guy everywhere, because that's what his OPS is on the road. I think that it's more when you go from the high altitude and then you go somewhere else, maybe that creates even more of a drastic split there.
Yeah. And maybe it'll just take some time to adjust. I think these are also human beings, and at some level, you got to be like, well, at some level, guys, he is doing these numbers. So how much does it translate? Will he figure out how to do better elsewhere? I think that, like, you're right. Like, hey, the Yankee Stadium, it's not like going there would be some killer for his power. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't, you know, Petco, or this isn't, you know, Seattle or any place like that, right? Like, this isn't this is a hitter's ballpark. So I think that teams should still be in on Trevor Story. I think a lot of teams in general should be in on a lot of these players I had down years, because one of my biggest points, and before we kind of wind down, I feel like for me, I've been very interested, and I've been very not alarmed, because baseball fans are crazy. I don't know. It's just, I found it weird that how many fan bases are like, go sign Bryant, go trade for Matt Olson, go do this, sign Scherzer, sign Stroman, do all these deals, when literally the two most successful teams in baseball this year were the Giants, who brought in Darren Ruff and re-signed Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, and even Aaron Sanchez. I know he didn't pitch, but, like, did all these, like, low-cost moves. And then the Braves, who, after everybody got hurt, they're like, let's just trade for these kind of undervalued guys. And then they won the World Series. Yet everyone's like, okay, cool, whatever. Go sign Chris Bryant immediately. Go sign Carlos Correa immediately. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to sign really good players. I'm not trying to, you know, moneyball this and say that owners should save money or anything like that. I'm just saying I don't like the idea that this is the only way to fix a team. And I especially think in the case of the Padres, a little bit more so than your team, they're in a position where they got to be a little bit more careful, because they're running out of flexibility with the guy that's playing first base being still locked up for another 4 years, with the fact that their farm system depth isn't the same thing. I think that they just signing the big name, I don't know if that's the only way, because then what if they turn bad? This is baseball, man. How many times have we seen that the guy turning 30 just stinks in a year? Yeah. Go ask DJ LeMahieu and the Yankees fans how they're doing right now.
It's funny, though. I think, you know, I fired a shot at you with Max Scherzer. I think you unintentionally fired one at me, because you just rattled off like 7 or 8 podcasts I've done in the past month. Sign Chris Bryant, sign Marcus Stroman. I've done them all, but hey.
Look, I'm not saying that was the basis behind my – I'm not saying I was revengeful. I'm not doing anything like that. This is The Last of Us Part 2 or anything, man. I don't know. I'll take the stray bullet. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think the last thing we should maybe mention before we close, you mentioned your favorite player on the Mets. I'm imagining that it's that shortstop that we alluded to, yes, Francisco Lindor.
Absolutely. When
Arm is out here on Twitter, you know, saying that
Arm Layton, yes, a criminal.
Yeah, you know that the Mets that you know, who would sign that $341 million contract a year into it? We're already doing the buyer's remorse thing. Can you please just enlighten people on how good this guy is and how we should not take too much from two bad months at the start of a season?
The only thing I will say that I do agree with is maybe a little bit of, did you have to extend him immediately? I don't know. I don't know the insider on that. Maybe you could be like, okay, maybe you save 60, right? Maybe you only had to pay him 270 or something like that. But the bottom line is this. The guy's glove is generational. He's got power. Yes, it's possible that his offensive prowess isn't going to be incredible, but I just see, like, what if this guy, and this is what I think always happens in baseball. What if he's just, for like 10 years, a 4.5 war player? Every year he gives you that defense and really solid, maybe gets you 270 average, 340, 350 on base, gives you like 25, 30 home runs, and an incredible defense. If he just does that every year, that's like an incredible contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an incredible, incredible player. He's got the talent. He's got the mojo. I know that they had some bad moments this year. Granted, I enjoyed them as a bystander. I enjoyed the raccoon incident. It was the funniest thing that happened this season by far. Watching the interviews, like, my guy was like me when I'm playing Faking It on Jackbox Party Pack, where I'm like, yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, that. I mean, it was just like, that's literally me trying to pretend that about the faker in that game. I'm like, yeah, I mean, dude, crazy story. Like, that's how you know someone's lying, is when they say something's crazy. You know what I mean? Right before starting. Like, here's the crazy thing about that. I did enjoy it. I think it was a down year, but he also showed signs of getting better at the end of the year. And most importantly, he has the Puerto Rican power. As you know, I root for every Puerto Rican player, except for Correa lately, because he was temporarily suspended. He's back on, but he was temporarily suspended for certain reasons pertaining to the Astros. But yeah, I think he's going to be great, and I think that Mets fans should calm down a little bit. I feel like they're not freaking out too much. It is just year one. And like you said earlier about Conforto, everyone on the Mets team fell apart this year. This always seems to happen in their first year. So second year, maybe the lights aren't shining as brightly. No, I'm just kidding. They're always going to be shining brightly. You guys just signed Scherzer and Cannon Marte. Like, I'm pretty sure it's still going to be high expectations. But yeah, I'm not worried about that. And if you look at qualified shortstops since like maybe like 2017, around then, Lindor is among the best in baseball. So I think this recency prisoner of the moment thing is very dangerous. Would it surprise me if Lindor is better than Correa next year? No. That's how you should look at this. Would it surprise you if he's better than a lot of these guys? No. Right? Would it surprise you if he's better than Tatis offensively? Yeah, I'd be like, what the hell? What just happened? What? What just happened? But as a total package, Francisco Lindor is a stud and could be the hero that saves the Mets for years to come.
Yeah, I've talked about on my show, you know, Carlos Beltran had a bad first year at the Mets. Second year, he was awesome. And I look at Lindor, and I know a lot of fans, they would see him go up to the plate. And because he was so bad early on, they kept on seeing that 190 average. And that would just automatically color their opinion on him. But I watched every single game, and yeah, he might not have gotten that one hit, but he made that play in the hole with bases loaded and one out, and was able to turn a ridiculous double play, and suddenly the Mets got out of a jam that saved you four runs or three runs, whoever knows how much those innings could have spiraled. So that defense, I watched Wilmer Flores play shortstop for like years. I think that Mets fans should be appreciative of what Lindor's bringing there defensively, because it's a huge difference.
And that three home run game against the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball, oh my God, it was electric. God, we need more of that. Give me more Yankees Mets beef. I love it. That was so much fun. And I think it's great. I actually saw Grant Slam in person from this past season from Lindor, which was just great because I went to a Mets game. It was against the Marlins, actually. So, yeah, man. I mean, if I'm a Mets fan, don't freak out too much. I know it was a disappointing year, but keep in mind it was everybody. And he got a lot of years left, and he's a super, super talented player.
Yep, should be a big year for him. And yeah, like you said, hopefully we see more of that great Mets Yankees.
Just not better than Tatis. Yeah, just not better than Tatis, of course.
I guess that's a whole other podcast, right?
Yeah, it might be.
All right, well, that was today's crossover episode, Locked On Mets, Locked On Padres. Where can people find your work, Javi, for the podcast audience?
Yeah, absolutely, man. For the YouTube audience, you probably see on the graphic right now, you can find me at Javipeno. That's J-A-V-I-I-P-E-N-O. Have been tweeting quite as much about baseball lately, but I'm getting back to it. I don't know if people heard, there's a lockout. I'm bored. I'm watching movies a lot more. So that's just what happens. And you could also follow at @LO_Padres for the show's account. And then Locked On Padres on YouTube, because, you know, I do YouTube too. So check that out.
Yep, and for the Padres listeners, you want to find my work, you can find me on Twitter at @FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at @LockedOnMets, and you can find us wherever you find Locked On Padres. Thank you for making this your first listen today. For your second listen, check out that show Locked On Bets. They've been red hot. You got the football playoffs coming up. You want to go there for all your daily gambling needs. You can follow Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.